Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for being here on today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Not because you're listening to me, but because you, if you are hearing me right now, you are in the land of the living. And it is good to be in the land of the living on today in Jesus' name. I praise God for being with you guys on today. It is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. If you're joining me Eastern Standard Time, it is afternoon. If you're joining me on the West Coast, I believe it's about 11-ish, 10-ish there. Just we praise God for being here on today. We praise God for the many, many blessings that he has bestowed upon us in Jesus' name on this week, in Jesus' name. I'm so grateful, so grateful, so grateful to be here with you again. Beloved people of God, we love you all. We thank God for you all. Amen. And on today, we're going to be talking about a very, very phenomenal topic. I know last week we had talked about the benefits of the name Jesus and who God was. We were talking about, and today. Today we got another powerful, powerful topic. Actually, today we are going to be talking about something that we tried to do on Father's Day weekend, and the Lord had me hold it until he was ready for me to do it. I know we had some technical difficulties around that on that show, so. But the Lord told me to hang on to it, and I didn't know when the Lord wanted me to bring this topic out before the people of God, but he told me, he let me know that it's time for me to bring it on out now. So today, we're going to be talking about manhood on today. This is for the men and for the women as well, because as we know, as men and as leaders, we need more men and we need more leaders in the church, and we need more men and more leaders in society, in the home, in the in leadership roles, because this is the way God ordained it to be. And I'm not meaning to sound male chauvinistic or anything like that, but this is the way God wanted it to be since the beginning of time, that the man was first created, which was Adam. He came into he created Adam, and he created man in his image, and Adam was the leader. Adam was the head. Adam was, you know, in a leadership role. And Adam, we all know the story of Adam and Eve, and we all know the biblical history of it, where Adam, by his disobedience, brought sin into the world. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about manhood today. What makes a man? And this is for the women, too, because the reason why I say this is for the women, too, is because we don't have a lot of men running households in leadership. We don't have a lot of men. But we got a lot of boys, but we don't have a lot of men. And I say that, I don't use it loosely either. We have a lot of boys, but we don't have a lot of men. And we have boys raising boys. So what is the end result? The end result is we get more boys and we get less men. But if you have a man raising a boy, that boy will one day eventually turn into a man. Amen. So we're going to find out what God has stated in the scriptures. We're going to find out how a man is supposed to be in the scriptures. We're going to see how God designed for the man to take the lead role in things, but not to be overbearing with it. Amen. We are going to find out that a man fails at his job if he does not lead correctly the way God wants him to. He fails as a man. You're a failure as a man if you don't do it the way the Lord has stated for you to do it. Men, young men, if you do not live your life according to the will and the ways of God, you have failed as a man. I'm gonna put it bluntly. Our ways, and the reason why I say that, because our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. But he has a designed a way for us to move and to do things as men. I'm glad the Lord gave me this, because on yesterday, I was able to spend some time with my boys on yesterday. Took them out. It was just something simple, you know. Took them out to lunch, and how the Lord had me not only take my boys out to lunch, but go get my nephew and spend some time with him. My nephew, well, I have several nephews, but this one particular nephew, his father is in his life. He's brother, and my brother is in his life and everything, and, you know, raising him up in church and everything. But I wanted, as an uncle, to show that, hey, you know, I know you got your dad and everything, but uncle's here too. Uncle's here too. And so the Lord laid it on my heart to go get him just to spend some time with him. And it was a beautiful, beautiful thing, because I saw my boys interacting with their cousin, and, you know, they were chit-chatting about, you know, kid things that I really didn't have no knowledge of what they were talking about, as far as, you know, their video games and all that stuff, you know. To them, I'm old. But I thank God for spending time with them, all four of them, and watching their interaction with each other, because we need more of that. Those are the things that men should do. Just giving you a little brief example of what a man should do. And if we look in the scriptures, we will find that the man's role as a man, we will find the man's role in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through verses 15 through 24. This is where Adam was put in a leadership role. He was given one assignment with three things. Number one, leadership. Number two, accountability. And number three, having to answer to God, being led by God. He was given three things, and I'm going to say those things again. He was given three things to do in his role as a man. He was given leadership, accountability, and being guided by God himself. That's all he needed to do. That's all he needed to do. God gave us, as men, he gave us the blueprint on how to be leaders. He gave us the blueprint on how to be leaders. And let me show y'all something. You can't lead somebody unless you are a good follower. My former pastor and my current pastor says it very, very often. And my former pastor used to say it a lot. You can't be a good leader unless you're a good follower. And the way society is now, the reason why we have so many young men, and I'm going to say it, corrupt, in a corrupt society, is because the leadership is corrupt. The leadership, either they're being, and I have nothing against a woman raising children. There's nothing wrong with a woman raising a boy. But that woman can only go so far with a young boy. Because they need that male figure in their life to teach them how to be men. There's nothing being, and I'm not saying this in male chauvinistically. I'm not saying that. Because I've seen women raise men, and I've seen men be raised by women, and they turned out to be great. They turned out to be great young men. They did the best they could, and they turned out to be great young men without a father in their life. And I applaud every single woman that has done that or is doing that now. But it's something about a man in a child, in a young man's life. This is why I'm speaking to the men today. If you have a child or children, especially you're dealing with men, the reason why we have corrupt young men is because of the fact that we don't have good leadership. And I watched an episode of Steve Harvey, and he said, and I know some people might say, well, Steve Harvey's not a good person to listen to, and some people might say Steve Harvey is a good person to listen to. But let me tell you this. He said something good, all right, and he made sense. He made perfectly good sense. He said, undisciplined boys turn out to be undisciplined men, which is true. Because the Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. Amen. So when Steve Harvey said this, it made me think. He said, undisciplined boys, because there was a guest on his show. And she was a mother and everything, and she was saying, and the father was in this child's life, and he was a good father and everything, and I'm paraphrasing here. And she was saying that, you know, the father was a little bit too hard on this young man. And she said, she was asking Steve Harvey, do I need to, you know, be more on my husband about him, you know, being too hard on him, or do I need to step back and let him do this? And Steve Harvey said, yes, let this man father this child. If he sounds like he's a little bit too hard, let him. Now, I'm not saying beat a child. I'm not saying abuse a child. I'm not saying none of that. I'm not saying that. Because if a man is abusing a child or anything, then yes, I believe that woman should step in and be like, hey, wait a minute, you're going a little bit too far. Amen. Because the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Amen. And that's provoking them to wrath. And I've seen a lot of, and I'm going to say it, male chauvinistic men or boys. They think they're men, but they're boys. Do some stuff to young men and young girls and they're calling themselves disciplining them, and they're really not disciplining. They're really provoking them to wrath, and that's not right for a father or a mother to do. It's not right, and I don't condone it. And whoever and if a person is doing it, they need to stop. They need to stop. Both mother and father. I don't care who you are. I don't care if your kid is young. I don't care if your kid is old. If you are provoking them to wrath, you will be held accountable. Just saying. But if we look in Genesis chapter 2, and I know I haven't read a scripture yet, but in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 24, we will find that what role Adam plays, what God, well, I'll say it like this, what role God wants Adam to play. Amen. He gave him the blueprint. This is the blueprint that God wanted Adam to have. Amen. But we have to look at it. Let me see. I'll go ahead and read the verse, okay? Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 24. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the garden, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found any helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall unto Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So as we see here in these verses, we see those three things. We see those three things that I talked about earlier: accountability, leadership, and with God, Adam following God's plan. We see this. He gave Adam leadership, accountability, and he wanted to see if Adam would follow the plan that God had for him. Now, starting off, he did. We've all read through Genesis about Adam and Eve. Amen. And this is the thing right here, that it, when you talk about being a man and you talk about manhood and you talk about leadership and you talk about accountability, those two things, the leadership and accountability, the first thing you have to do about being a man is your accountability. You have to, we have less people holding people accountable in the church and out of the church. Nobody wants to be held accountable for their actions anymore, and that's a bad thing. This is why we have such a corrupt society, because nobody holds people accountable. We see it on the TV. We see it throughout society. If there's a level of accountability in that person that is being held account, the person that is, you know, doing something wrong, you know, they are accounted for it. They don't want to be held accountable for anything. They don't want to be held accountable for what they did wrong. They want to be held accountable for the good things. But let me show you something. And some of y'all may not like me for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. In God, there is no Democrat, no Republican, no Libertarian, no nothing like that when it comes to politics. Now, that's another show for another day, but is God in politics? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The Bible says he builds up kings and he tears down kings. Kings means the government. He said, render in another scripture, forget where it's found at, but it says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God. He's talking about the money. He's talking about paying your bills. Pay what you owe. Pay what you owe the government. Pay your taxes. Amen? But watch this. In the government system, we have seen the government system not be held accountable for their actions. We have seen the police authority, they're supposed to be holding the law to a high standard, and they do stuff wrong, and they are not held accountable for their actions. We've seen a lot of people get off. This is just an example of what I'm trying to, you know. I'm not even going to say me, not even what I'm trying to show y'all, but what the Lord is trying to show us. There's a lot of people not being held accountable for their actions. And guess what? It's mostly men. Do y'all see that? It's mostly men. The reason why, and like I said earlier, Steve Harvey said it, undisciplined boys become undisciplined men. And guess what? When you have undisciplined men, guess what? You only got two places for them to go, to prison or to the grave. There's only two places. There's only two places for them to go. And some men or some boys think age makes you a man. Age does not make you a man. Just because you are 21 does not mean that you're a man. Just because you're 25 does not make you a man. Just because you're 35 don't make you a man. Just because you age 45 don't make you a man. I even go higher than that. Just because you're 75 don't make you a man. The mentality, the mindset makes you a man. The responsibility that you carry makes you a man. Not just that you carry, because you can carry responsibility and not carry it right, as we saw with Adam. Because when Adam was held, when Adam sinned, when Adam went against what God wanted him to do, he blamed his wife. He went and hid. He was trying to get away from God. He was trying to get away from the correction that God had for him, the judgment that God had for him. We see that all the time. People trying to run away from the things that they've done. That doesn't make you a man because, and look, let me tell you something else. I'm going to tell every single man today, and if you're doing it, I'm going to tell you this. Stop it. I'm going to say stop it before I get into it. Just because you have a baby, that does not make you a man. Because you can have a multitude of kids does not make you a man. Having babies and you can't take care of them makes you stupid. You know full well you can't take care of these kids. And you sitting over there having more and more and more and more. Why? Why? And then you wondering why your children, and it becomes a generational curse when you start having problems like this. Well, my daddy, and you know what? Instead of taking the responsibility for it, they started coming up with excuses. Us as men, we come up with excuses. Oh, well, my daddy wasn't there, or this person hurt me, or that person hurt me. You know what? Bump that. But I understand. We've all been hurt. We've all been – let God heal the hole in your heart. Well, you don't know what – you don't know my father wasn't there. Look, let me tell you something. There's a bunch of people where their father wasn't there. But you can break the curse. If my father were here, my father would tell you some stuff that went on in his childhood where he could have continued that with me, but he broke the curse. He broke that because he didn't do the same thing that he went through in his childhood. Amen. See, that makes a man. When you're there for your family, when you're there for your children, see, if you have responsibilities to your home, and look, I'm getting ready to hit it where it hurts. For those of you in the church, oh yeah, we gonna hit the church today too. We ain't just hitting people outside the church today, cause we gonna hit it where it hurts. If you in the church and you ain't taking care of your family, you worse than an infidel. If you ministering, you need to stop ministering and take care of your family. You need to sit down somewhere. If you can't provide for your family and you calling yourself a minister, if you sitting over there going around cheating on your wife, come on here. You need to sit down somewhere. Get that thing right, get yourself together, and then come back and work in the church. That's why the church is corrupt. Why? Because the leaders in the church are corrupt. We got bishops and pastors sleeping with people in the church. I wasn't going to do this today, but I'm about to go there. We got people sleeping with people in the church, and you wondering why people don't want to come to church. We got men, pastors. Let me show y'all something. What makes it hard for the pastors that are actually doing what God called them to do and doing it right, it makes it hard for them. And I know the Bible says that there should be false teachers and false prophets, and we're going to have that in today's society. And it's all biblical and it's all prophecy. I understand that. But some of these people that know what they're doing, you know what you're doing, and you still continue to do it. You know you messed up. You know you don't need to be. That stuff brings spirit in the church. And you wonder why your church is so messed up. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to go here. I have talked to some people, and I'm not gonna I'm not going to put anybody's business out there. But I have talked to some people. I talked to one person, and this person had shared with me some stuff, and I couldn't believe the stuff that they were telling me. Couldn't believe it. Another person told me some stuff, and it was about, and I guess down through my life, I have experienced that, you know, my friends would come to me and would talk to me about their problems in high school and in middle school and stuff, and they answer me right there in their face, and I'd be sitting there listening to them, and, you know, I literally learned from my mom and my dad, you know, it don't matter who it is. If they wrong, they wrong. You stand with them when they right, but you don't stand with them when they wrong. I don't care if it's family. I don't care if it's friends. I don't care if you don't do that. If they wrong, they wrong. And if they strong and they wrong, they strong and wrong. Okay? But we have to understand as men, I'm talking to you, men, we have to come up out of that mindset. We have men that are male chauvinistic to think that, hey, I do this, it's my way or the highway, and I'm going to do it my way. My wife has to listen to everything I do and da-da-da-da-da, and if it ain't going my way, then it's no way. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Look, you might say, well, the Bible says wives submit to thy husbands, but it also says in the Word of God, it also says husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. You got to give her something to submit to. Uh-oh. Because, and it also says submit one to another. So just like you think that she's supposed to submit, sometimes us as husbands, we have to submit to our wives. Not saying be walked over, not saying that makes you less of a man because you're submitting to your wife. There's some, and let me give you an example of submitting to your wife. Let me give you an example. One of my friends, and I give this example, and I tell this as a testimony now. One of my friends wanted me to go somewhere with him, wanted me to hang out with him, da-da-da-da-da. And we were both married. And I went to my wife, you know, I was like, hey, babe, you know, is it okay if I go, you know, out for a little bit, you know, whatever. And she said, well, you know, we had plans to, you know, do this or do that. And I said, okay, all right, well, I'll tell him that I can't go. She said, all right. So I called my friend and everything, and I told him. And he got mad. And I kind of startled me there for a second because I was like, wait a minute, why is he getting upset? And he was like, you have to ask your wife to go somewhere? Like, no, I'm not asking her. I'm letting her know where I'm going. I didn't, you know, I'm consulting. I'm, you know, making sure we're in agreement with one another. I'm talking to my wife because I'm trying to make sure that she didn't have anything to do or, you know, whatever. And he said, well, I don't talk to my wife. I just go. Okay, that's you. He said, I'm the head of my house, and, you know, if I want to go somewhere, I'll go. Okay, that's you. That's not me. I'm still the head of my house. Just because I talk to my wife and, you know, consult with my wife does not mean I'm not the head of my house. That's me being submissive to my wife and making sure. Because what if she would have said, yeah, and I didn't tell her? Or what if I just decided to go? And this is a good example for men. Let me show you why I said that. It's good for you to tell your wife where you're going. It's good for you to tell your wife where you're going. You mean like, Minister Adam, I don't have, you know, why is it good for me to tell my wife? Maybe it's not always good for me to tell my wife where I'm going. Yes, it is. And I'm going to say it like this. The reason why it's good for you to tell your wife where you're going, and with wives, it's good for wives to let their husbands know where they're going. Why? Because what if something happens to you?
Ain't nothing going to happen to me. Ain't nothing going to happen.
You don't know that. That's being wise. Letting your wife know where you're going, what you're doing. Now, you ain't got to call every minute and say, oh, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing this, babe, and da-da-da-da. No. Letting them know where you're going and checking in from time to time, saying, babe, you know, I'm still here. I'm with my friend. I'm still with my buddy, you know, da-da-da-da-da. I'll be home such time, you know, whatever. Just a check-in. Or just a call and check. I do that. Me and my wife do that all the time. When I'm at work, the reason why my wife calls me when I'm at work, and the reason why I call her when I'm at work or when she's at work, the reason why we call each other is because I want to make sure that she's all right. She want to make sure I'm all right. Okay? Anything can happen. Something could happen to her. Well, you might say, well, if something happens at work, you got people there that can call your wife and let her know. Yeah. But I want her to know from the horse's mouth what went on. Amen. And it's always good to let your wife know. Especially, it's just good to let your wife know and let your husband know what's going on. It's not making you less of a man to let your wife know what you're doing. It's not. And look, let me show y'all something else. There's some men that will get mad because their wife or their woman makes more money than them. Excuse me. Wait a minute. First of all, I don't care if my wife make more money than me. I'm going to applaud her. I'm going to applaud her. You know why? Because she worked. She stayed on that job. Why are you getting mad at your wife for making more money than you? You need to go. Who you need to be talking to, not your wife. If your wife is making more money than you, and I'm just using this as an example. Now watch this. My wife, and I'm gonna say it. My wife, she makes a little bit more money than I do. I'm fine with that. You might say, well, why are you fine with that? Because she's been on her job. And I'm proud of my wife. And if they want to give her a raise, huh, go ahead. You want to give her a raise every 6 months or every once a year or whatever, and she just happens to make more money than me, hey, look, it's all going into one house anyway. Thank you. I don't care how you make it. Well, yeah, I do. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me not say that. I don't care how you give her a raise. If her raise comes from her job, hey, look, that's more money in our pocket. What's mine is hers, and what hers is mine, and what mine is hers. Amen. In her eyes, what hers is hers, and I'm just playing, y'all. But, you know, it's good for a man, especially if you're married, you know, to make sure in that role of a man, as a man, it's good for you to lead your family. It's good for you to take your children to church. It's good for you to make sure that your wife is okay. Well, and let me go here. I'm finna go here. If for women, let me talk to you. Just hear me, please. If a man, if you've been courting, dating, whatever, and he is still not willing to marry you, that is not a man. And God might be saving you from something. If you've been dating for more than, I say, 3-4 years, and he still ain't said, will you marry me? There's a problem. Because let me show you something. A real man knows what he wants, and he's going to do everything he can to get it. I don't care if it's a job. I don't care if it's a woman. I don't care if it's a new car. If it's in his eyesight and he want it, that man going to do everything he can do to get it. Now, a holy and saved man going to ask God about it. He's going to seek the Lord about it. And in his seeking, he's going to let the Lord know, hey, this is what I want. Because the Lord understands. The Lord just don't want, the Lord is not a God that he just takes, he just says, oh, well, you got to do, I don't want your desires. I don't want to hear your desires. I want you just to, fulfill my desires, and that's it. He's not a God like that. He wants to know the desires of our heart. Amen. He wants to know about them. Amen. He said it in his word. He wants to know about them. Amen. But if we look in the scripture, let me show you something. The reason why I mentioned about relationships in a man, in a relationship, if that man has not proposed to you within a year or two, 3 years, and he still, and you've been with this man, and I do not condone living together unmarried. I don't condone that. I don't condone it. Amen. And you might say, well, you got to know the person, you got to live with them to know them and to marry them and all that stuff. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I can say no, you don't proudly. Well, you might say, well, how can you say no, you don't proudly like that if you've never been? Well, let me show you something. My father and my mother, my stepmother, Mom, she never once, not one time, before she married my father, she didn't want to be married. She was content with her and Jesus alone. She was Sister Jericho. Amen. She was content with her and Jesus alone and her four children she had. Amen. When my father, my stepmother were courting, not one time did my father step into my stepmother's house. Not once. Not one time. The only time when they were dating, not one time did he step foot in that house. The only time that he stepped foot in that house is that after they got married and they was moving her stuff out, getting ready to move us all together in one big happy family. And you might say, well, that doesn't say anything. Okay. That doesn't say anything about living together. Yes, it does, because they not one time did they live together before they got married. And guess what? you ain't got to live with somebody to know that they're for you, because they've been married almost 25 years, still going strong. Amen. So you do not have to live with a person unmarried to know that, hey, because if it's from God, if this man is from the Lord, and if this woman is from the Lord, then that's for you. Because the songwriter said, what God has for you, it is for you. And if that man is straddling you along, honey, let me tell you, and I'm saying honey, when I say honey, I mean women. Women, hear me. If that man is straggling you along, saying that he will marry you, but I want to have this together and I want to have that together. Look, nobody in history, the excuse is, well, I want to be right for marriage. I want to be ready for whatever we take on, and I want to be. You will never be ready for marriage. You will never be ready for marriage. You might say, well, you can't say that, Minister Adam. Yes, I can. I sure can. You know why? Because the reason why I say you'll never, ever be ready for marriage, because you might say, well, I got to get to know them and know how they live and know how they. If God has put y'all together, y'all will be able to stay together. Amen. Because the Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And if that man is telling you, well, I want to marry you, I want to do this, I want to propose to you, and let me tell y'all women, if this is happening to you, you need to do one thing. You need to do one thing, and it's only one word. If that man is straddling you along saying that he will marry you, because you might say, well, he said that he was going to marry me, so I'm getting married. That don't mean, just because he said he wants to marry you, there's not a proposal. Not a proposal. Okay? We're talking about manhood. A man that wants what he wants, he will go after what he wants. He will be persistent. Why? Because God has made it that way. Not saying a woman can't be persistent either, because a woman can be. But a man, the man's strength of persistence will be harder in what he wants, especially if it's from the Lord. His persistence, he will be goal-oriented if he's a man. A true man, especially a man of God, they will be goal-oriented. They will not stop until they reach the pinnacle, which is heaven. They will keep on going. They will keep on going for their families. They'll get up. A true man will get up every single day to go to work. A true man will teach his children, whether they have sons or whether they have daughters, they will teach their sons to pull out chairs, to open doors for their mother, to open doors for their sisters. A true man will teach his young daughter what she should look for in a man. A man that raises a daughter, I've watched it. Yes, you might say, well, you have no daughters. You only have boys. I've seen it through my brother. My brother has literally shown my niece what a man's supposed to do. And she will not. Now she's thinks about to be 11, but she knows what a man's supposed to do. I've literally watched my brother open doors for my sister-in-law and my niece. You might say, well, what does that mean? That says a lot. That says a lot. Because that's teaching her how a man's supposed to treat you. And if it's a true man speaking with daughters, she will not want less than what her father has given her. That's why it's good for a man to be in the home. These boys won't be out here in the streets looking for fatherly love because they will have it in the home. So men, if you have children, take care of your children. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go. But when they're old, they will not depart. Amen. A man that does not provide for his family. Let me show y'all something. You're worse than an infidel. In First Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, you can go straight there and find out what you're supposed to do. If you don't provide for your family, you'll find out in First Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Amen. My father, my dad, and I love my father. I hold him to the highest regard because my dad. Now, has my dad done everything right? No. Has he said everything right? No. But I count him as the best father. Not just because he took care of a sick child when I was a baby. I'm not just talking about that. But I can say this, and I can honestly say this, and I've said this on my podcast before. Those that have listened to the Summit Internet Radio podcast, you've heard me say this about my father. My father, in every bit of advice he has given me, in every bit of word that he has given me, in every bit of discipline that he has given me, he has never, ever, not one time told me anything wrong. Everything that he said came to being. It came out to be. I have literally watched my father. He set the example for me and my brothers and my sister. He taught us good work ethic. He taught us how to treat our wives, us as husbands, or my brothers. He taught my sister what a man's supposed to do. He taught me how to raise children that I didn't even help bring into the world. Because, like I said, my dad got married again. She had four. He had one. We came together as a blended family. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The rest is history. And that's the same thing that I'm doing now with my wife. My two oldest, they mine. And I make a joke out of it. And I make people laugh when I say it. I tell my boys that all the time. You mine. You're mine. I may not be on your birth certificate as y'all by quote unquote biological father, but y'all mine. Y'all my sons. You know why? Because number one, I got papers on you. I may not be on your birth certificate, but I do got papers on you. What you mean you got papers on them? I got papers on them because they on my lease. They on me and they on mine and their mother's lease in this house. That's all the papers that I need. And as long as you live underneath this roof, as long as God gives me the strength, I'm going to make sure that everything you need that you'll be provided for, because it's my job. I tell my boys that all the time. I tell my wife that all the time. If if there's anything that you need, because I don't want you, I don't want you going out in the street looking for it. If it's love that you need, if it's support that you need, come to me and I will give it to you so that you won't have to go out in the street and look for it. I shared something with my oldest son one time because he went through he got in trouble for taking something that wasn't his. And I told him, I said, first of all, I said, boy, have you lost your mind? But but I began to talk to him and I asked him, why did he do that? And he said, because you didn't have it, and mommy didn't have it, so I just took it. I said, wait a minute. First of all, did you ask, did I have it? Did you ask me, did I have it? He said, no. I said, so you didn't come to me and even attempt to ask me, did I have this such thing that you wanted? He said, no. Okay, then. So why didn't you ask me before you did what you did? I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, guess what? Now, I know why I'm going to put you on a punishment. You, and I begin to tell him, you don't have to take anything from anybody. Because I work too hard and your mother works too hard for you to go out there and do that. I set the example for them. I set the example for you as a man because my father did the same for me. Not one time did I have to go out and steal any food. Not one time as a child did I have to go out there and steal clothes. Not one time, because it was all provided for me. Because I knew that my father would be there for me. And I said, you feel the same way. I don't know where you got this mindset of you needed to take something from somebody to get what you wanted. You feel the same way that I did as a child. And the reason why I know is because you told your friend. One of his friends, I was going to work one time, and it still kind of makes me cry every now and then, but I was going to work, and my son and his friend were outside at the park playing, and he ran up to me and gave me a hug before I was going off to work, and his friend asked me, he said, who is that? And he said, that's my dad. And he said, well, where is he going? He said, he's going to work. He said, he only goes to three places. And he said, well, where does he go? And I'm standing there listening to this. He said, he only goes to three places. And his friend asked him, he said, where does he go? He said, he only goes to work, church, and to do his radio. And that showed to me, that told me a lot. It told me a lot. It told me that my son is watching me. My son is watching everything that I do. Just like I used to watch my father. And he knows that I go to work, and I will strive hard for them as long as God gives me the energy to do so. Because that's what a man does. When you talk about manhood, that's the measure of a man. That's what makes a man, that he will go beyond the call of duty for his family, for his loved ones, and that he will be that rock for his wife, for his children. And I remember this past Father's Day, my wife, she put up a post on Facebook, and I read it, and she said, I love this man right here. Not that I need any accolades or anything like that, because I don't do it for accolades, you know. I do it because I'm a husband and I'm a father. So it doesn't really make me any difference. But she said he goes beyond the call of duty for his family. He gets up, he goes to work, he goes hard for his family, making sure we have what we need. Now, watch this, y'all. One of my wife's friends came to the house. They were outside talking or whatever. And they were discussing, you know, relationships or whatever. And my wife's friend said, you know, I can't even get my baby's father to even take care of his child. And for somehow odd reason enough, she asked me, she said, well, why doesn't a man want to take care of his child? I said, I don't know. As a man, I don't know. I don't know. Because if you bring something precious as a child into this world, you should want to make sure that child is well taken care of. And she said, this young lady said, she admired my wife because she said, you have a man that takes care of his children and takes care of his home in spite of him having a disability. And I remember one time there was my children's friends came through. And I was coming home from work. I came home from work, and all these kids was in my house. And I came home, and I came through the door, and I heard all these kids saying, wait a minute, that's more than three. Wait a minute. And I came into the house, and I saw all these kids in here, and I'm like, where are these kids' parents and stuff at? Wait a minute, why are they at my house? And my wife began to tell me, she said, you know, these kids were, and it was a summertime, and you know, it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock, you know, almost getting close to 9 o'clock, and it was in the summertime, so it was daylight savings time. And I'm like, babe, what are all these kids doing at the house? And she was like, you know, they wanted to hang out and everything. And I began to think about my parents and the way we used to do them with our friends. Our friends used to come to the house and everything, and they would let our friends spend the night, and they would be the neighborhood parents. My parents were the neighborhood parents. Like, everybody's children would come to our house. And my mother and the next day I talked to my mother, because the next day they did it again. These kids were coming over to my house. And I said, Mama, why are these kids coming to my house? And she said, don't you remember when y'all used to do that to us? And I said, yeah, but we were kids then. She said, I know. She said, remember when them kids used to admire your father and me, because they would say sometimes they just wanted to sleep and they couldn't get no sleep at their house because there was so much drama going on at their house that they would just come to our house just to sleep. Mm-hmm. She said, okay, your house might be their safe haven. She said, you better let them kids come inside your house. Let them come over. Because you might be the only father figure that they have. She might be the only mother figure that they have. Where they're getting some love at. That might be the only safe haven that they get love at. And I said, you know what, Mama, okay. Because I was sort of upset about it, because they was coming over every day. And I started getting mad a little bit. And then my wife had to talk to me, and, you know, my mama was talking to me. And I said, all right, I understood then. But that's the thing. That's what the old saying says, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village. And we need more men. We need more mentors. The reason why we have a society of young boys in the state that they're in is because we don't have enough leaders. We need more male leaders. We need more male leaders in the classroom. We need more male leaders in the church. We need more male leaders. Look, there are some things that I've been through. Every now and then I will go back to my high school. And I used to be a part of a program in high school, and it was called, because I graduated from Ben Davis High School. And there we had a program, an after-school program called the Giant Kings. And it was a program where it was African-American males, young males, coming together and, you know, doing homework and, you know, all that stuff for the ones that didn't have fathers and for the ones that did, you know, for anybody that wanted to join. And when I was in high school, they had the graduates of Ben Davis that were a part of this program or a part of this after-school program. They would come back. They done already graduated, but they would come back and talk to us. And I find myself going back to my high school and speaking to the young men. Now, last year, because of COVID, they usually throw a party in the middle of the year during, say, around Christmas time, before Christmas break, and they do this big old celebration, and they have the old, they call them OGs, the old Giants, because that's my high school alma mater, the Giants, our mascot, and they would have the old Giants come back and speak to the young boys there. Well, I went there in, I believe it was 2009, and I spoke to the young men there, and we had a good time. So we need more young men. I yesterday, Lord laid it upon my heart to take my boys. I do what I like to. It's just the simple things. It's the simple things in life that will draw young men and young ladies. If, like I've taught my boys, and it's starting to get on my youngest son now, because he likes to help people now. And I remember me telling my oldest son, your mother should never have to take out the trash. Your mother should never have to take out the trash. There are 4 men in this house, 3 young men and 1 man in this house, and your mother should never have to take out the trash. And I held my son, my oldest son, to a high standard when it came to the trash, because now my wife does accompany them to the trash can because, you know, the day and age that we live in. But I wanted to teach him that, you know, if you do this for your mama, and as you get older, if I'm not around, your mother should never have to do that. She should never, ever have to do that. As much as your mother does for you, you should never let your mama take out the trash. So if I'm not here, you do it. If I'm here, I'm going to do it. And sometimes when I'm here, I let him do it because it's teaching him responsibility. Amen. It's teaching him accountability as well. That's what the leadership as a man we need. That's the type of leadership we need. And I'm just throwing out examples here. And sometimes it's good to show your children that side of you being romantic towards your wife, not anything physical. I'm not talking about anything sexual or anything like that. I'm talking about buying your wife some flowers. Let them see that. Allowing your boys to buy their mother some flowers. If they get a little bit of money or an allowance or something, teach them how to buy their mother some flowers. You know why? And I told my boys this. I said, if you learn these little things now and you do these things as you grow up, a young lady's going to see that and say, oh, wait a minute, he's good to his mama. Maybe I should look at him a little bit more. He's taking out the trash. You don't know what. I told my oldest son, you don't know what little girl watching you. You don't know, and now he's 10, but you don't know what little girl is watching you. You don't know what little girl that watched you when you was 10 years old taking out the trash for your mama might see you as an adult and remember that. Remember who you are. Be like, hey, I remember you taking out the trash for your mama and you. And you growing up, I remember you doing this and that for your mom and buying your mama flowers and all this stuff. Yeah, we can talk. Yeah, we can court. Yeah, we can date. Whatever. I don't know how they say it nowadays. I just say dating. But, yeah. But these are the things that I teach my boys. I also teach my boys, save your money. Save your money. Spend your money. The reason why you need to save your money because mommy and daddy won't always be there. When you go to school and want something, save your money that we give you sometimes. Don't all spend it on candy and all this stuff. Me and my wife, we save our money for rainy days. And that's something. And look, let me show y'all something. When we first got married, and this is a leadership thing. This is a leadership thing. I'm about to show y'all something. My wife did not understand why I wrote my bills down. Like, I wrote everything down. Like, wrote it from the rent all the way down to luxuries. Okay? I was writing it down. I was at the top. I had my the amount of my check. Amen. And I was breaking it down. What was going here? What was going there? What was going there? And my wife didn't understand that when we first got married. She was like, why are you doing that? Why are you paying, when the first came around, why are you paying your rent right now? You got until the 5th. And I said, because I write my stuff down to see where my money is going. And she said, after a while, after she saw me doing it, and I think we had been married for a couple months, and she was like, I'm not about to do all that. I'm just about to, you know, do this, do that. Because that's the way she used to do it before we got married. And there was nothing wrong with that. I'm not fighting against that. What you did before you got married, you know, whatever. What you did. But as she started seeing me do it and she started understanding what I was doing, now we do it together. She said, I understand why you write everything down. I understand why you do this and why you do that. And now she'll come to me certain ways I pay bills. She's like, some bills I will go get money orders for, and some bills I'll pay over the phone. Some bills I'll I'll take them a straight. I don't think they do checks anymore, but back then I used to take them a straight check. Write out a check, take it out of my account. Go over here to this bill, take out a money order, give it to them. And she didn't understand why I was doing that. And then another thing was that she wouldn't understand why I would put my money in two or three different places. And now she understands why. I got a thing for savings. I got a thing for bills. And now she understands why. She's like, "Hey, do we got enough in the bill account to take care of this bill?" Yep. Because I'll pull it from the savings. These are leadership qualities in a man. That's leading your family. That's leading. That's leadership. And that's what we need. I even take my kids sometimes to pay bills. At 10 and 7 years and 4 years old, I take them. I will let my son every now and then, I'll take it. Look, let me show you something. Take your sons, take your daughters, men, take your children to your job and allow them to see what you do. I have taken all three of my boys to my job. My wife one day, I had all three of my boys. I wanted to take them out. And I said, I took them and I said, "We're getting ready to go to the store." And she said, "Oh, okay, where are you going?" Because we have a store right up, you know, not even 5 minutes away from us. But I wanted to go to my job. And this certain grocery store I was working at the time, I said, "I'm about to take them with me." She said, "You're going to your job to get something?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why are you taking the boys?" "Because I want them to see what I do. I let my sons see me take care of the car. Just yesterday I did it. I let my son, I had to, just simple things, putting gas in the car. Don't let your mama put no gas in the car by herself. You pump that gas. I mean, they can't do it right now because, you know, they're a little bit young. My 10-year-old can, but I allow them to see me pumping the gas. I allow them to see me work on my car. I remember one time, the car that we have now needed a new. We had a crack in our grill of our car, in the front of our car, and I had to get a new grill for the car and everything. And my wife was like, "Do you know how to put that on?" I said, "Nope, but I'm gonna learn." And that's, and I learned how to do it. I learned how to do it by myself. I said, "Nope, but I'm going to learn how to do it." And I learned how to do it. That's leadership. So I ain't got to pay no labor for something that's very, very simple. I'm going to learn how to do it myself. And if it's not simple enough, I'll let somebody do it, but I'm going to find out to see if I know how to do it myself, see if I can learn how to do it myself. And grateful enough, I learned how to do it myself. And I changed the grill of our car, and I took both of my sons, my four-year-old stayed in the house. And so, but I took my two older boys, and I took them outside, and I showed them. And I showed them what, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that. Now, Was it? You might say, well, you don't know that. You didn't know what to do. How are you gonna teach them? But I learned how to do it first, and then I showed them. That's leadership. That's leadership. Amen. These are the things that men need to do as men. Amen. I know we haven't read much scripture today, but this is good, sound teaching for men. Let me show y'all something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, this is what makes a man, all right? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick. And I know we have not read much scripture, but this is still good teaching, y'all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I want to show y'all something. I want to show y'all this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. This is why we have, in the last few minutes that we have left in the show, I want to show y'all this. This is why we have so many boys and not enough men. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 11. And it reads, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible says whatsoever a man thinketh, what? So is he. Amen. So if you are a young man or a young boy or whatever, a man or calling yourself a man, and you still have childlike mentality and you playing games, and the only thing you want to do is be in front of a game system, put that childlike mentality away. If you are a so-called man and you got your wife or woman or whatever you want to call it out there working, and you, now it's a difference between putting in, and there's no jobs and all this stuff, and you putting in applications and you trying to find a job. That's okay. And you trying. I mean, you seriously trying. That's good. But if you ain't trying, if you sitting there on the couch, baby, bring me a cold glass of water or cold juice or whatever, and you ordering her around and you telling her to keep the kids quiet while you watch football, and she going to work and cleaning up and all doing all that, there's something wrong with you. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are not a man. You got to put away the childish things for you to become a man, because that ain't nothing but a child. You looking for somebody to take care of you. People are obligated to take care of me. Ain't nobody obligated to take care of you. Ain't nobody obligated to give you anything. And I don't know who I'm talking to, so I'm going to say it like my former pastor used to say. I'm talking to who I'm talking to today. In these last 10 minutes that I got, we must be leaders in and out the church. We must be men. There must be men leading the way. I know we got some strong sisters. We got some strong women. And I understand that. But it takes a man. Because that's the way God ordained it. I'm not saying it to be male chauvinistic. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it that way. But these men, please, come to the forefront. Take your place. Take your place. And if you ain't earned your place, learn, go to God, get yourself together, and take your place. Because respect is earned. It's not given. It's earned. And like I said earlier, if you want your wife and you even want your children to respect you and you want your wife to submit to you, you got to give them something to respect. You got to give them something to be submissive to. And if you're doing everything you can as a man, and especially if you're doing everything you can as a man of God, they will respect you. You might, with children, it's like pulling teeth. You might have to crank that tooth out. You might have to do whatever. You might have to drill to get that tooth out. But at the end of the day, if you got to pull teeth to get them children to act right, at the end of the day, them children will respect you for what you've done for them. And I've seen it. I'm not saying something that I have not experienced. If you in a blended home, take care of your family. If you not in a blended home, take care of your family. Your main priority as a man, if you are married, you have two main priorities. Number one, to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. And number two, to take care of that family that God has blessed you with. That is a part. And look, you might say, well, I'm a minister, and ministry comes first. No, that is a part of ministry, to take care of your home. And if you ain't doing that, you cannot be up in the pulpit. You cannot be ministering in the pulpit or wherever you minister at, if you ain't taking care of your home and if you ain't serving God the way God told you to serve Him. If you not, teach your children what the Bible says. Teach your children the books of the Bible. Sit them down. My kids ask me questions. My middle son, David, he asked me a lot of questions. Boy, Jesus. But I respect him for that. And I love him for that. He's like, are you going to church? Sometimes when, you know, sometimes Bible class, you know, they I let them, you know, and sometimes I'll let them stay home or whatever, you know, but if my wife is a little bit too tired to go, I'll let them stay home with my wife. But he'll be like, are you going to church? Yeah, I'm going to church. Can I go? Yep, you sure can. Yep, you sure can. I won't deny any. And I tell them that I won't deny anybody from coming to church. I don't care if you male, female, adult, or child. I don't care who you are. You can come to church with me. Amen. But that's the role of a man. That's the leadership of a man. And the accountability part of it is that at the end of the day, you can still be, you can, don't you, let me show y'all something real quick. I got 2 minutes. You can miss the mark by not taking care of your family. Uh-oh. You know you can miss the rapture by not taking care of your family the way God told you to? Well, how can I miss the rapture by not taking care of my family the way God told me to? Because if God told you to do it that way and you ain't doing it that way, that's a sin. So you're going to miss the mark because there's no sin in heaven. Amen?
Right.
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. God bless y'all. I love each and every one of you. I hope you got something out of this topic today. Eventually, we will bring this topic back again somewhere down the line. But I just wanted to go to talk about manhood today. I felt it was prevalent to talk about manhood today. And just continue to keep us here at the Spirit Live Network in your prayers in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you.
Yes,
and as it says in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, and this is the Spirit Alive Network, where everything about the Word of God is preached over here. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
I love you. If you don't hear my voice again, if you don't hear my voice next week, I will see you in the rapture of the church. In Jesus' name. God
Amen.
Bless you.